It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 13th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, the company iRobot will demonstrate new software called UPoint. It's a system designed to control whole teams of robots from a mobile device. Private companies, academic institutions, and governments are dabbling more and more with the idea that our future will be full of robots that can complete all sorts of tasks. Ryan Kahlo is an assistant law professor at the University of Washington, and he thinks all this means we need a federal robotics commission. Professor Kahlo, nice to have you on.
Great to be here.
Definition of robot. Can we come up with that?
I use a kind of as a working definition. I think of the technology as having at least these three components, that it's able to sense the world around it, that it can do some processing of the data that it gets, and then it can act upon the world, the so-called sense-think-act paradigm.
Could my phone be a robot if the phone buzzed or vibrated when it sensed something happening in the room that it was in?
I think of robot as being organized to act upon the world. Vibrating, although I admit that it's on the line a little because, of course, you're moving the world in some way, actually is meant to convey information. But the line is so tenuous, but somebody's got to draw it.
Speaking of Federal Robotics Commission, why do we need one of these?
Well, I don't know that we need a Federal Robotics Commission exactly as I've described it. But what we do need is to start thinking more systematically about robotics law and policy.
Well, something that I feel like government grapples with all the time is that technology really moves faster than government at this point.
Well, I think it's true that technology evolves faster than law, but I don't think it's true that law somehow doesn't have a role. I mean, if we look back at the internet, we made some real smart decisions early on. For instance, we decided that we wouldn't hold platforms like Facebook responsible for what users post on those platforms. And that allowed there to be this open communication system that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
Who would sit on this commission?
You'd have basically technologists. I think one side benefit of a federal robotics commission would be to attract top technological talent to the government. The Department of Transportation was asked by Congress to figure out whether Toyota's sudden acceleration issue was a software glitch. And they didn't have the expertise in-house to do that, and they had to go ask NASA. They literally said to NASA, like, could you take a break from, repairing the space station and putting robots on Mars and
drop
take a look
some
at
knowledge.
Toyota for us? It's like click and clack at work at NASA. But you can't do that every time. And the idea of a federal robotics commission is to acknowledge this reality and to have a group of experts whose purpose is to advise other agencies and states and courts and so forth.
Mr. Kahlo, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on.
Remember Armageddon, the blockbuster about astronauts blowing up a deadly asteroid headed towards Earth with the help of oil drilling guys played by Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck, and, thank goodness, Steve Buscemi?
Look, you want to compare brain pans? I won the Westinghouse Prize when I was 12. Big deal. Published at 19, so what? I got a double doctorate from MIT at 22. Chemistry and geology. I taught at Princeton for 2.5 years.
As you can probably tell, Buscemi played a bit of a science nerd in that movie. Mining or blowing up asteroids and their icier cousins, comets, is actually a pretty common topic in science fiction. But the real science nerds are getting very excited about a real project to finally land on and mine a comet for materials. The BBC's Russell Padmore brings us this report.
When Star Trek first hit our television screens, the idea of exploring a comet close up was pure science fiction. But 45 years since a man first walked on the moon, the European Space Agency is about to land a craft on a comet. The Rosetta probe has spent 10 years travelling 273 million miles to rendezvous with Comet 67P, Churyumov-Gerasimenko. Understandably, scientists like Professor Jean-Pierre Biebring from the University of Paris are excited.
We are really in the middle of a revolution of our thinking of how planets evolve. Why do we have such a huge diversity when you compare Earth to Mars to Venus to Jupiter, whatever? how that's feasible.
The comet's orbit takes about 6 years travelling from beyond Jupiter between Mars and Earth before reaching its closest point to the Sun.
We're going to sample a comet for real.
Professor Matt Taylor is the Rosetta Project scientist.
This is groundbreaking science we're going to do, and that will lead us to a journey back in time to the origins of our solar system.
The world's mining community will watch the historic touchdown of Rosetta's separate landing unit closely. Comets and asteroids are composed of valuable minerals, and technology is already being developed to mine those metals. Monica Grady is a professor in planetary sciences at the UK's Open University.
Say we're after something like the metal iridium or platinum, you're going to have to weigh up, is it more economically viable to dig down into the Earth's core or to go upwards to the asteroid belt, catch an asteroid and bring it back? And it's technically more feasible to actually go to the asteroid belt and bring something back.
It might still sound like science fiction, but within a few years, robots could be working on asteroids in space, mining the metal used to make your refrigerator or your car. In London, I'm the BBC's Russell Padmore for Marketplace.
All right, quick reminder, you can find lots more of this stuff on our Marketplace app. Find it in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.